good to
go.
go?
Okay.
I'm good to go.
Yay! All right. Well, hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're watching from or listening from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the wonderful Dr. Simone Alicia. There's a wealth of resources to help with your child's self-esteem and confidence. So I will add the link below or in the descriptions for you to check that out. So today's episode is amazing. I am really excited because I have a very special guest, and I know I say that all the time, but this one is just so exciting for me. And I'm all flustered actually because I have a great friend of mine who's just launched her book. It just came out yesterday, and I'm so happy to have her on the show today to talk about how we got there and how she got there, and to just kind of talk about the whole concept. It's such a great book. I've had the privilege of reading it before it came out, and I just love the concept. So I'm going to introduce you to the beautiful Ellie La Liberté. Merci, Ellie. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm really excited. It's exciting for me.
It
Woohoo,
is. It's
let's
exciting. It's an exciting week for you. There's so
Oh
much
yeah.
going on. But before we get started about your book and how you got to that, can you just talk a little bit about yourself? Just kind of give us an introduction.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, I am a now published author. Well, I was a published author before, but I feel more like a published author now. I wrote a book 10 years ago as well in French. My first book was in French, and now this book is the second one is in English. And I just feel like the process and the experience with it was just so amazing and such a difference with the first one. But yeah, I am an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur since the age of 21, and so I've always been in business. So it's no surprise that now I am doing the same thing with this book, starting a new business, going to a new venture for sure. Yeah, I love this. I'd love to be an entrepreneur, and there is just so much freedom in that sense and so much adventure. But of course, there's been a lot of like up and downs throughout all of last 15 years, and it came to this book actually, yeah, I'm very simple person. I just want to help people heal and rediscover who they are, who they really are. And I've been on quite a few adventures in that journey. So yeah, that's pretty much who I guess I am, as simple as I can put it.
Like you could go, yeah, there's so much of that. So I love how you say that you're an entrepreneur, and when you are a true entrepreneur, that's all you know, that's all you can do. And watching you, yeah, just, we've known each other for a few years now, watching your whole journey is so fascinating, because you just be like, all right, let's try this, let's do this. Like, there's no fear, right? But it takes a while to get, well, there's some fear maybe, but we don't let it get don't
No,
let us
exactly.
stop
Well,
us.
no, and we build a lot of resilience throughout the, all of this. And that's exactly, I think that I can say that I do have a lot of resilience because I am an entrepreneur. So whatever project that I'm, starting in, I know that I'm gonna have the resilience to go through again the more challenging times, because when you're an entrepreneur, there's always challenging times, which is very normal. But yes, there is such a freedom in that as well. And I think that if I can talk to the people that do feel this way too, when it's in your blood, it's kind of like you can't do anything else. So
That's right. That's right. No, you're absolutely right. Now, again, I'm going to invite people to have a look at that book, because in the introduction, you kind of talk about your story and how I got to that and your healing journey. And anybody that's gone through a healing journey understands the ups and downs and all the questioning that we do. But can you kind of explain to us or share how or why is it now that those letters, the book is called Letters from You to You, and how that came about, how it was kind of a calling for you, and to actually put it down on paper.
Well, that was a surprise to me, actually. It wasn't planned at all. I didn't think that I was going to write a second book. I was going through a lot. Like, I think that people that understand the healing journey, we go through levels. And sometimes we think that we've gone pretty low, and then we get back into a little bit more of a high, and then we go back into our lower, or at least we feel like it's lower. There are levels of, I guess, dark night of the souls. That's how I'm going to say it.
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
when you find out there's a basement to rock bottom.
Oh my God. It's
insane.
It's just, but it's fun. You know, when you're in it, it's not so much fun, but when you look at it from another perspective, from the witness consciousness after, you're like, oh my God, this is so interesting. But yeah, I got separated when I was 30, going on 31, which was back in 2018. And I can say that that was my biggest, I guess, at the moment where I could perceive such a loss from a perspective of, I guess, the, again, because there's levels, right? I think at that point, my level of awareness was high enough, but it wasn't so high that I could actually go and feel all of my patterns back then, but I still was in shock for sure. So when I got separated in 2018, I can say that I was pretty much my second awakening. My first awakening was, you know, I was very, very young, I guess. Well, very, very young. I was 21, but I guess in my maturity wise, I was young. So it wasn't so much of a big impact like it was when I was 30, because there's, you know, there were like almost 10 years of difference. And when I got separated, it was just really a big shock of, wow, okay, who am I alone now? You know, without a partner, because I have been with this partner for 12 years since the age of 19. So that to me was like pretty, you know, traumatic, I would say, because now I had to start over completely. And not that I, you know, it wasn't just my relationship that ended, it was also my business. So I had a business with my ex-husband, and we lost the business at the same time. It was just like everything was just so much at the same time. And on top of that, because I was on survival mode back then, I needed to find a solution to get some money in. And I was living in, you know, my house. I had 3-bedroom, and I decided to put my house on Airbnb to see if it would work, and it would work really quickly. Although it was fun for that, and it kind of saved me in that way, but because I made that decision, it meant that I needed to make a bigger decision as well, which was another loss. And I lost my 2 dogs. And I know that for some people, you know, they're just dogs, they're not your kids, but for me, they were my kids. And I could have, you know, kept them, but it was not really fun for them, because I was going from my parents to my place back and forth all the time, because my house was being rented. So I had to make a really, really tough decision to give my dogs away. I gave my dogs to my parents-in-law back then, so at least it wasn't to a stranger. But, you know, that on top of all of my other loss was just a lot to deal with, and a lot of grieving to do. And I felt back then like I couldn't even grieve, because I needed to survive.
Yeah.
You know, I needed to be all in this new business that I decided to start, because I needed money to come in. And so I feel like back then I couldn't even grieve what had just happened to me. And so that was being pushed down, that went down. And I didn't deal with that for maybe a couple of years. And then at one point I decided that, like, when COVID hit, I think that everybody kind of just had an awakening there too. So for me, that was kind of another awakening, because people don't know me, but I'm not the one who's going to follow a lot like what other people say. And so I was, you know, very determined to follow my intuition with COVID and everything. And I wasn't going in the same direction as many went, you know, unfortunately for them. But for me, it was a question of just respecting who I am and what I wanted. But that came with a lot of, again, a lot of resistance, a lot of pain, because then it was, you know, division with my family, with some friends, with a person that I was dating back then. And it was just really, again, another level of awakening, you know, the awakening to a part of me now that I really knew that I was and I wanted to respect, you know, but needed to go deep and go and do some healing. So I did some healing there too, and I actually hired a coach for the first time in my life. I had hired a coach, and right before there, then I was actually on a group with you that we are going to talk about. But yeah, I had hired some coaches, and I was part of a community, and I had never done that before, and I felt so much love from these people, and you know, so much support going through this other dark night of this other dark night of the soul. And so yeah, it was kind of like in the dark night of the soul, I would say, for like the last 4 years. But there were levels, you know. I would go down, and then it would be like, oh, I think I'm out of it, and then oh my god, going back down again. And the last one was right before I started to write my book. So coming back to the book, full circle. I wrote the book because I was in a phase of complete surrender again, but it was a deeper level of surrender. Because now when I was saying before, like, depending on the level of awareness that you have, your, you know, your experience is going to be experienced in a kind of a, it's hard to explain, but you're going to be experiencing it at a certain level that you're not able to see the deeper kind of part of it. So I had gone through so much healing, you know, back in 21, 2020, 2021 and 2022, were those 2 years where, you know, it was still COVID and all of these things. And I was a lot by myself too. As well, back then I had gone and I rented a cottage for a year where I was on the side of the lake. It was beautiful, but I was very, very isolated. And that for me was kind of like my sanctuary for me to heal deeply. So went through that, came out of that, and then again I had to die of a part of me in 2023, which was to let go of an old business that I had for the last 6 years, which I created on survival mode back when I separated. But now it was time for me to get out of survival mode for sure, you know, for real. So I needed to let go of that part of me, which was very, very difficult because I had, you know, the ego likes to identify with the things that you do. And so I had identified with that business and was fighting and striving and doing everything in my power for me to continue to be in the business, even though life was clearly showing me that it was just, there was just no more momentum and everything that I was trying was not working. So at some point I just had to really just surrender and say like, okay, you know what, life, just tell me what to do. I don't know what to do anymore, but I was so much more self-aware back then that I could actually go through that surrender without, you know, going through so much pain, in the sense where I had done so much work with my own healing and all of my deep hidden wounds, that it was kind of like now I was ready to receive now. I was ready to receive a, you know, that higher part of me completely. And that's what happened with the book. So it was really a surprise for me. It was back in December. I had decided to just meditate for the next 2 weeks and, you know, 1 hour meditations in silence. And I was alone for those 2 weeks. And I really decided like, no Christmas parties or whatever. I really wanted just to stay with me. And it came to me, yeah, in a meditation, really, really, it was spontaneous. I knew that it didn't come from me. It clearly told me that I had a second book to write. No. It gave me the title of the book, and it told me exactly how to write it. And so I was like, yeah, okay. I guess those 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing that.
Yeah.
So that's how it happened. And then I'm that way as well. I said, well, I'm going to start now because it's in my energy now. I have to go and do it. So I sat down and it just flowed. It's really hard to explain, but I kind of know that it did come from me or my small self. It came from my higher self for sure. And it was just so much of a, it was a very powerful experience for me because I was completely letting go I didn't want this book to be about my personal experiences. I wanted this book to be really about how can we, and I'm saying we because this was a co-creation for sure. But I was like, how can we help as many as possible to just reconnect with that part of themselves where they know that they are loved, they are taken care of all the time, and they are being held, even though they go through so much, pain. Because I think that this is the thing when you go through your dark night of the soul, and I think that everybody's going to go through it, whether or not you think that you're not even spiritual. Like, at some point, life will bring you to a place where it's going to tell you, like, hey, I'm taking all of this away from you because you need to figure out who you are without all of this. And this is exactly what
Yes.
happened to me more than once. So even if you don't want to, I'm pretty sure that life will have its plans with you. And it's fun to have something like this. And I do believe that this is the intention that was behind it. And I'm not going to say that it was my intention again, because I didn't even have an intention. I didn't even know that I was going to write a second book. But I think that the intention behind it was to really hold space for people while they are going through what they're going to be going through. And yeah, I'm loving that experience.
Well, having read it, I can definitely tell you that that's exactly how I felt when I read it, because I've gone through and around the same time of you, where you're just like, you think you've had all the layers, and there's another layer that comes up, and that ability to say, letting it go and releasing it, and just ready to receive whatever it is that's supposed to come. When you resist that, that's when things are taken from you. With I find from my experiences, the more I resist and try to hold on, the more I end up losing. But that's how I saw where I was in my journey with this whole dark night of the soul, the ego death, or whatever we call it, the self-healing journey, is reading the letters. For me, they came across as gentle. Like, it was so gentle when you were saying holding a space for the person that's reading it. And I know that if I would have read it 2 years ago, I would have, it may have triggered me. It may have, stirred something inside of me, because I wasn't ready for that yet. So it could kind of tell me where I was at, and how I had released a lot of that, trauma, and whatever you want to call it. But it was, and I can see myself reading this a couple of years from now and seeing again that I'm not receiving the message the same, because now I've either passed this, or this is something that I need to work on now. I'm kind of seeing it that way. So you really are holding a space, and no matter where you are in your healing journey, there is a message there for that person, to wherever
Yeah, I
they're
think
at. And that you will get that
absolutely.
message.
I think that there's a readiness to receive whatever you're going to be reading. I think that someone can re receive it in a state, and then, like you say, because that happened to me a couple of times with other books, where I would read a book and then I would kind of grab it maybe 2 years after and read it, read not the entire book again, but I would read some things through it, and I'm like, oh my God, I never understood this before the way that I'm understanding it now. And now it's like, wow, it's crazy how our minds and I do talk about that in the book, but it's crazy how when you are ready to receive something in a particular way, you are going to receive it in that way. If you need to understand something, you will understand it from the perspective of the readiness that you're at to receive it. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, that's I think that people could probably have that experience with with this book. And to be really honest with you, our perspective, and especially if you're someone that you're very curious and you like to learn and you want to go deep into your truth. I'm kind of like a truth seeker myself, so it can change really quickly. It can change in a matter of months. And now that the vibration of the planet is so high, I think the people are just shifting very, very quickly. So even if you're reading the book, let's say right now, and maybe in like 2 months, you're going to be like, oh my God, I didn't, you're reading it again. And you're like, oh, that's, I didn't see it that way 2 months ago. Now I'm ready to hear this. So
It's
yeah, it's
so
cool.
true. Yeah, it is so true. And what I like too, because you interviewed some people that read your book before it was launched, and listening to their perspective of some of the letters, and it's like, I hadn't seen it that way, but that's a good point. Like, it's just everybody, but it's not non-confrontational. This, I'm like, no, that's not right. It's just like, huh. And then you're ready to accept somebody else's point of view on something that. So it's really, I just, and it's such a nice book, and that's why I just like, I will add the link to it to for everybody to check it out. But it's definitely worth, no matter where you are, what you want to heal, or where you're at in your life, there's something there for you. And like I said, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you could have a look at it, and it'll be a completely different book for you. And I think
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
what's wonderful. I wanted to ask, actually, I want to bring up this topic because this is kind of my world. And when it comes to writing books, there's a lot of people who want to start a book will often get nervous to say, well, who am I to write a book? I'm not a scholar. I'm not, I didn't study, the history of English literature or French literature or anything like that, right? We're writing from our heart. We're writing, like you said, sometimes it's just channeled through. But and this is where we're working with children in an education system, with our education system not really catering to the children's needs. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your experience and go, knowing what you've gone through in your academic years and the struggles that you had, that, would you even think you were able to write books like this and, to actually succeed in getting them done? So can you share a little bit of what that was like, the struggle you had to go through in your early years to and overcome that to be able to be where you're at now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of us have been taught that we need, certifications, we need diplomas, we need to have gone to university to have degrees and all of that in order to be successful in life and actually do something like being a writer. And that, unfortunately, again, is from an old programming. And what it did to me back then, absolutely not. I think that when I was back in school, there was no chance in hell that I would have thought that I would have written a book, and not even just one, two books. Then absolutely not. my journey, in my, and it's funny because sometimes I don't even like, I don't, when I think about my trauma, my childhood trauma, it doesn't come up quick that it had to do with school, but a lot of it had to do with my school. Because sometimes when you're thinking about your childhood, in your trauma in your childhood, you're going to be thinking more about your parents and the way that you've been raised and all of that, but schools, they make a big impact on you. And I, for me, yeah, that was a childhood trauma from the age of as young as I can remember being in school until I was even in, I would say I didn't go to college, but I went for a short time in a school that a private academy for singing and dancing. It was even in my area. Like, I'm an artist too, right? So I went for 2 months when I was 19. I went for 2 months because I had hurt myself, so I couldn't continue. But it was, I thought anyways that it was very, very much in my element. I went to a private academy, which I was chosen in I think it was 500 people that were auditioning for that school, and they only chose 50 people, and I was one of them that had been chosen, which was awesome. But because of my childhood trauma regarding school, I was not doing well even in that, which was like all me, it was arts and everything, but there was a lot of history that we had to learn about music and history about theater and all of that, and those areas were difficult for me because that was about studying and getting to know and having that memorizing things and then doing essays and all of that, right? So even in my strongest abilities, I felt like I was failing because I had that trauma. And so from an early, the earliest that I can remember, for me going to school was really not a fun experience. I never felt smart. I was called slow. Unfortunately, I had a lot of people that thought I was slow, so they mentioned it to me, and maybe it wasn't, in they didn't want to do it in a bad way. It's like they didn't have a bad intention in the way that they were saying it, but unconsciously they were hurting me big time. Because being called slow and telling me that I was always the last one to finish my homework, I was always the last one to finish my tests, my exams, and you know, even I was the last one to get dressed in my gym class and getting out. All of that was making an impact on me. And then I was feeling like I was someone who couldn't learn much, you know? So I didn't feel smart my entire childhood. And I didn't feel smart until maybe I was, I would say 25, even though I knew, you know, even though now I know that I was smart, I never felt smart. I felt like I was not intelligent. I had never been, no one ever told me that I was intelligent either. I don't even remember. If someone told me I was intelligent, I don't remember because that was so much trauma for me. So going through, yeah, going through school, I think for me was, it was a challenge because not only did I not, the reason why I think now today that I was not really learning well was because I didn't have, I was an artist, right? So I didn't have the stimulation to be excited about what I was learning because a lot, unfortunately, a lot of the teachers in my school years were very not interesting to me. You know, a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of, you know, teachers are going to be there for, you know, if it's not for their pay, they're just not going to be a passionate teacher and they're just there for a job. But what it does to people like me that are artists, I needed that stimulation. I needed that teacher that was exciting to listen to. Like now when I'm listening to a podcast, if the person is very boring, I'm going to listen for 5 minutes and then I'm like, no, I don't continue to listen. Even if you know so much, I'm still not going to continue to listen to you because you're not stimulating that part of me that is like, wow, you are so passionate about what you're doing and you're just excited to talk about it and whatever, you know. So you're actually the one on one of your podcasts that kind of was teaching the learning types. And I was like, oh my God. And then it clicked. And I'm like, that's why I couldn't understand so much because I was just not, you know, I'm not ADHD. That wasn't the case. It was really a thing of, I was just not interested. I didn't want to learn, you know?
That's
and it's
not how you learn, but that's the only way they teach in school. So of course you're not going to be motivated because it is boring.
It
I
was
the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So that really didn't help me at all. And so, no, I didn't think that I was going to write a book or whatever. It came with my spirituality, you know, and with the healing, actually. That's when I started to understand that, like, I auto-educated myself. That's how I'm going to say it. When I started to be more smart or intelligent, however you want to say it, was when I decided that I was going to help myself and learn with my own pace for one and be interested in the things that stimulated me, which was a lot of, yeah, about life, you know, learning about life. That was what interests me. A lot of what we learn in school, you know, math and all of these things that yes, are a necessity at some level, but there was so way too much I was missing in school. And unfortunately, it's still a bit like this today where I haven't been in school so long, but I don't believe that there's a lot of personal growth programs out there still.
No.
And it's so important. It is so important for the students to, yeah, to kind of have that foundation of like, I am smart and I can learn because I am, you know, learning about myself and who I am and how what is my ability to learn? How am I supposed to learn? So I really love your things that you were talking about on your other, you know, on your podcast the other day, because that just made such a difference to me knowing this. And to be honest with you, I still don't know what my learning type is. I just listen to it. But
I can help you with that.
That'd be nice to know.
All we have to do is play. That's all we have to do. So this is easy on our next time we get together.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're absolutely right. And you brought up a good point of, because anybody who doesn't learn the cookie cutter way that schools teach, have to self-educate. I like that word because I was the same for me and everybody that I've worked with who were supposedly tagged as the difficult or, troubled student. They were the smartest students in school, but they were led to believe that they were the dumbest ones in school, the slowest ones in school, because they didn't follow they didn't fit in that box. And it was the same for me. I didn't disrupt class, so I just kind of flew under the radar, but I had to self-educate. I didn't learn. And even I went to university, I don't remember one of my professors. You would think that when you're in the post-secondary and something that I love doing, there would have been somebody who would have had an impact on me, like that would have inspired me. This is supposed to be mentorships and stuff like that, apprenticeships, but I don't remember one of my professors. And I maybe remember three of my high school teachers. Everything else is just, I blocked them out because it was boring. And so, yeah, I think teachers, and I don't believe that teachers, I haven't been on that side as well. That's not their intention, but they're so caught up in that environment, having to teach a certain way, and clearly it's not working, that they get caught up in their own their own storm, basically. So it's
And
important to
that
see
makes
the
sense.
impact. Yeah, the impact that they have on students, because we spend most of our day there. We go home to relax, but it has a huge impact. And not knowingly, you are traumatizing some kids in the process. And how are you supposed to fix that, right? So that's the overwhelming thing. But it has a huge impact on us. And there's so many authors that I spoke to who that imposter syndrome. It's not just with authors, but for anybody that start their business, that start becoming the expert in their field, but they don't have necessarily the diplomas on their walls. But you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about, but there's always that little voice in the back of your head that says that you're not enough. Who are you? Like, you're not, but you are. You are exactly the person who can help us through this because you've gone through it. So this is what I appreciate about the letters is you don't make it about your journey. You do talk about your experiences, but it's not about you. It's about anybody who's going through some type of challenge, and they're trying to get through, navigate through the storm. So I think that's great, and that's what I love about, because I can see myself using your book to help parents, because I do help parents to navigate that whole parenting side of it. So what you're using, or what you talk about in those letters, I can see parents, if they read them, they'll know how to help their children that are going through some struggles as well. So that's what I really appreciate.
Yeah,
How about
because
the
like,
book?
a parent, and I mean that everybody has gone through that, and so there's no judgment in this, and that's what I'm saying in the book, but most of us are still children in adult bodies, right? So it's really difficult to raise a child when you're still a child yourself. And I'm not saying that in the sense of being insulting to people, but it's just like if you're not dealing with your trauma, with your childhood trauma, you are still in the same energy. And so you're carrying that in your adulthood. So not having dealt with this healing, like for me, for instance, I don't have a child right now, but I'd love to at one point. And this is the reason why I am doing what I'm doing and being very aggressive with my inner work, because I want to be aware of, I don't want to be transferring, sorry, I don't want to be transferring my trauma to my kid. And you're not doing that on purpose, but it's just a normal thing because this is the way that you're living your life with through that filter. So of course your child is going to be seeing that and repeating that and understanding that it's okay to have fear around whatever because that's what you're showing them. So it's about just not being hard on ourselves because we had kids with all of this trauma, but being aware now that, you can actually do something right now. However, how old your children are, it's never too late to want to be self-aware and really look at yourself and know that the behavior that you have is actually coming from that place. So now you're having compassion for your kid, actually. because you're having compassion for yourself, having gone through probably the same thing that your child is going through, or you know, if it's not the same thing, it's something that maybe is similar or something that one of your siblings in your family went through. So like, I can just reflect on, let's say my goddaughter, one of my goddaughters, she's ultra sensitive, like ultra sensitive. And she's a little, maybe a little less now, or she's showing less because she's a little older now, but throughout her entire childhood, she was ultra sensitive. And my sister is not ultra sensitive, but I was ultra sensitive. So I could relate to my goddaughter, you know? And I feel like probably my sister saw a lot of me in her child. And I think she did, because she called she called her daughter so many times Michelle, because my real name is Michelle. So I'm pretty sure she could see me, but you know. And this is a thing. So having self-awareness is having that compassion to say like, oh, wow, okay. So I'm just experiencing my sister, my young sister through my child right now that, you know, has the same kind of, and it's not a disorder for sure to be ultra sensitive, but there's, you know,
it's a trait.
To be able to deal with it. Yeah. So yeah, it's very interesting. And so when we have that awareness about us being still that child, you know, in a certain way, I'm not saying that we're completely a child, but we have a lot we still have a lot of energy from our childhood that is still going on within us right now. There's a lot of compassion that is taking place. And also, I do believe that now even children are able to teach parents in that sense, you
they
know.
Do. They really do help. And that's what I like that you mentioned that, because, well, first of all, I'm going to say my sister, my older sister, calls my niece by my name, and she calls me by my niece's name.
Oh my
so,
God,
there's,
that's so funny.
There's definitely something there. I remind her of her daughter reminds her,
wow.
her of me. But yeah, but children will sometimes show us where we need to heal, because when they trigger us, I do talk about parental triggers, things that trigger us. It's not what the child is actually doing. We automatically blame it on whatever it is that they're doing, but it's really they're reflecting something back at us that we're trying to pretend it doesn't exist. It's like we've been burying this for so long that we don't want to look at it, and our child brings it back out. But our children are the only ones that we will love unconditionally a lot of the time. So we can't just walk away from them like we would with everybody else in our lives, right? We wouldn't tell them to go off, you know, because they're our children. We need to stay and take it. So that's why they trigger us. So anytime you're triggered by your child, it's actually your child is showing you where you need to heal. And this is where that book is, because it's so, like I said, I think the first word that came out for me was, it's so soft. It's so gentle. It's so, we go into this self-healing journey expecting this very harsh, you know, in your face type of, you know, healing, but it's not. This one is just gentle. It's like, it's okay. If you're not ready for this, just take note of it, notice that it's there, and allow yourself the time that you need to heal. So I really like that approach. Yeah. I'm curious to know now, the book is out, there's still a lot going on with that, but what's next? What's new? What's going to be happening from here?
Again, I like to keep myself in the unknown. So when I started this book, I always told myself, I am in the unknown, and that is okay. And I don't know where this book is going to go, and it's not about me. So I'm letting life just bring it where it needs to go. And that is okay with me. You know, I didn't want to control it. I didn't want to make it about me again. So this is bigger than me. It's something that came through me, but it's not from my small self. So it's a co-creation again. So what's next actually is, again, just a, it's going to be very spontaneous. Of course, I have things that are lined up in the sense where I knew that this book was coming out. So I said, well, I kind of want to be full into that career now. So I associated actually a coaching program with that book as well. So I'm going to be focusing on offering, again, kind of like once you go through the book, you will have the opportunity to be working with me one-on-one. And you're not going to be just working with me one-on-one. I actually associated two other people in my program, which is one that is doing some breath work, because breath work was an extremely important part of my healing process. So I cannot show anybody or guide anybody if they are not doing breath work. If they're going to be going deep into their healing, for me, it does not make sense to not move energy in your body to be able to actually know where the hidden trauma is, because you can meditate and you can, I mean, you can do a lot, but if you're not moving energy inside of your body and you don't know how to move that energy too, chances are you're not going to go really, really deep into the root of what is going on. You know, it's going to be a lot of surface thing. And I'm not just saying that to say that. I went through that a lot, and I needed breath work to be able to release a lot of this unseen, you know, unseen wounds, really. I had no idea. I was like, oh my God, this just came up. I didn't even know I had that in me, because I moved my energy, right? So I'm going to be having a breath work certified facilitator. And also, I just added this, that was really spontaneous as well, but I just added a kind of like another program. So it's a program, there's a basic program, and then there's a full program. And then in the full program, I have also a hypnosis with me, which is, it's really cool, because she is going to be doing, you know, she's going to be helping the client to actually reprogram. So what me and my friend Phoenix, her name is Phoenix, that does the breath work, are doing is we're actually going to investigate what is going on within the person and going to heal what needs to be healed and seen. And then from there, once they've gone through that, they're going to be able to now to add some programs, some new programs within them. So whether you think, you know, you say subconscious or however you want to call it, but you're going to be experiencing new programming inside of you. Because the thing with healing for me, and I've discovered this only because I went through it so many times, and I put dots together after a while, and I said, oh, that's why it wasn't working before. I truly believe that you cannot have any positive kind of affirmation or modalities or anything that's extremely positive and that's there to you know, put new programs actually within you if you have not went to do the work in your you know, in your healing process and your traumas and everything. Because it's kind of like, this is the way I see it, it's kind of like having a lot of garbage inside of you. I've talked about this in another podcast the other day, but it just comes up all the time. It's kind of like having a lot of garbage within you. And then when you're, you know, doing positive affirmation, when you're reading, you know, very positive mindset things or whatever, and you're trying to have this optimistic and positive attitude all day long, this cannot be sustainable, because what you're actually just trying to do is putting all of this on your garbage. And the garbage is so strong, it's so dense, that what it does, it just pushes it out. It's not sustainable. So you need to make space within you. And for you to make space within you, well, you have to go and dig deep to see what is this garbage inside of you and how can you heal it so that you can now really apply what you're learning after that is positive, you know, beliefs, new belief system and everything. So, because then it's too difficult. I struggled with that, you know, for a lot of years. I was doing the work, and I was reading the books, and I was knowing everything. I had so much knowledge, but yet I was still depressed, and I was still, you know, not understanding my life and sad. And I had a lot of sadness in my, that was my emotional journey, was the sadness was intense. And I was like, why, how can I get rid of the sadness? I don't understand, and fear and all of that, right? But it was because I hadn't gone deep inside of me enough to go see, like, where does this sadness come from? Where does it stem from? And it hurts to go and do that process, that healing process. But man, does it free you? it frees you, and then you're taking, you know, life less seriously in a sense. So now everything that is more positive and all the affirmations and everything is so much easier to be able to implement that in within you after. So yeah,
no,
that's what we're trying to do with this program. Yeah,
that's amazing. And it's not easy to do it by yourself. There's a lot of things that you're not going to see because you're so caught up in that garbage. After a while, the garbage stops smelling, right? You're in it constantly.
You're in it and you're comfortable in it, right?
All of a sudden, it doesn't smell that bad. So you need somebody to come in and say, oh, this, we need to open up a window or something. So that's great. If anybody would like to follow you or learn more about the program, is there a, where could they reach you? I'm going to put that in the description, of course, yes. But what's the best way to reach you or follow you, basically?
You can actually go on my website right now. It's posted on my website. You can have the information if you go and click on work with me in my website. And my website, you're going to post it, but it's lettersbyellie.com. But I am wanting people to actually read the book before I work with them. So no one can work with me if they have not gone through the book. So it's kind of mandatory in that sense, because I want people to understand what, you know, the deeper part of themselves that they have to go and see. So they're already going to have gone through probably a lot of emotional emotions, I would say, just going through the book. So that's going to be a really good start. And from there, if they want to work, they want to go deeper into their darkness and have guidance and really understand, you know, how to do it properly. Well, properly, there's no right way or wrong way to do it, but at least having people to guide them and hold space for them, because this is the big thing. Like for me, it's about holding space. Yes, I can guide you and I can, you know, give you advices and whatever, but I really want people to be vulnerable. It's time now. People need to be vulnerable and open up and be receptive to the light that is trying to come in. So this is really what I intend to do. Also with this program, I'm very much encouraging people to, well, if you're taking my program, you're going to go through a lot of writing processes. So you're going to do a lot of journal writing, because I do believe that writing is a therapy, and it's a very, very powerful therapy. And that's the way that I went through so much of my healing as well. When you don't have anybody to talk to, you're feeling really isolated, and then you have your pen and your paper, and you can just write everything down and just put that energy on paper, so it's not staying stuck within you. So I'm going to be teaching people how to journal and be persistent with their journaling and going deep with that, because they're alone in their space with their pen and paper. They can say pretty much what they want. No one is looking at them. No one is judging them. They can cry it out. They can take pauses, you know. So it's a really great way of coaching themselves in a way, and realizing some truths about them while they're writing. Sometimes they're going to write like anybody else, and they're going to be channeled. They don't even know that they're channeled. So I want people to go through that writing thing. So I'm going to be helping them with that. Phoenix is going to be helping them with the breath work. And then, the hypnosis therapy is going to be really, really cool following all of that.
That's nice. All right, I'll put all of that down. I'll put the link because your book is available on Amazon as well. So I'll put some links on there and on different Amazon markets, of course, depending on where you're watching from. And before we, I could talk to you all day. We'll have to get together again and kind of follow up on how things are going. But I always ask these questions when I have guests, and I will give you a little bit of the backstory. Is this little girl, she's 9 years old, in doing a project at school. She had to interview adults. And she was asking this question that all adults ask children, but nobody was answering her. So she was getting frustrated, and her mom just kept telling her, well, stop asking, you know, like, you're getting upset about this so clearly. And she would just tell her mom, no, somebody's going to get it. So when she asked me, I answered, and we were doing a Zoom call like this, and she turned around and she says, you see, mom, I told you somebody was going to get it. So I promised that girl that I was going to ask everybody I interview. So this is the question.
Wow.
It's a fun question. Everybody should be asking adults. This is what do you want to do when you grow up?
What do I want to do when I grow up? That's awesome.
What do you want to do? Or what do you want to be? Isn't that awesome?
Yes, it absolutely is awesome. Well, I'm gonna answer that question probably in a different way. I'm not gonna be doing so much, but I'm going to be being. I'm gonna be more, that's for sure. You know, I'm gonna be focusing on being more. That's what I want to do when I grow up. The most that I can, I will focus on just being, because I think that that is also something that is weird when you're a kid and you get asked that question, actually, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And you're like a kid and you don't even know who you are. So how can you answer that question? You know, that's
Exactly. It's a big
impossible.
commitment. It's a commitment. I want. Am I
Yeah.
really going to be a doctor for the rest of my life?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, when I grow up more, I actually want to focus on just, yeah, being as much as I can, just being in the present.
Love that. I love that because we do so much already. So we need to stop
Yeah.
doing and just be.
Yeah.
I love that. That's why I love that question. There's
Being
no
and
wrong answer.
receiving,
Yeah.
allowing life to show you what you're supposed to do, and doing it from the place also of being, because we can do, but we can do in an alignment way, you know, and that's even more powerful. Because if I take my book for instance, my book was created by that space. I didn't do anything, I received everything. So the doing was bigger than me. So that's how I feel that I want to continue to live my life. And it's about time, to be really honest with you, it's about time that I get committed to want to live my life this way, because it's just so much more. There's so much more freedom. You have less pressure on yourself, and you're just knowing that you have this beautiful, amazing energy that is so strong, that is always there to, you know, to help you through everything and bring you to things that match your energy, and so that it's easier for you to do things. So I want to continue to do that. Yeah.
I love that. I wonderful.
I
Like I
love
said,
that.
I could keep talking all day about this, but we're gonna end it here today. But thank you again so much. Congratulations on your new baby being coming out. It is available on Amazon. Like I said, it's Letters From You to You. I highly encourage it. Thank you so much for sharing this experience with us.
Thank you
And
for your time and doing this, because you're helping a lot of people when you're adding guests like this and just talking
oh,
about
thank you.
these wonderful subject. And also what you're doing with the parenting is just incredible. And you also have a book coming out soon
Yeah,
enough.
my baby is
So
coming
we're
out
going to be talking
soon.
about that too.
I'm
Right?
going through my journey.
Yep.
Yeah, that's coming up real soon. People will know because I'll be talking about it all the time. But yeah, it's coming out. It's very soon. And I can't wait to share that experience with everybody. But again, thank you so much for anybody. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. And don't forget to go and check out Ellie as well and all the wonderful work that she does. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.